great. Take your Bible real quick. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12, and we're going to actually look at three places real quick here in our Bible before we observe the Lord's Supper this afternoon. Exodus 12 is where we're going to read. I'd love you to stand, if you would, as we show honor to the Word of God. If you're coordinated enough, let me give you the other references. We're going to also look in a moment at Luke 22, and then we're going to end up in 1 Corinthians 5. So 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Luke 22, and we're going to begin right now in Exodus chapter 12. I'll begin to read. I've titled the little challenge I want to give this afternoon before we observe the Lord's Supper, it's a memorial day. That's what I'm calling this challenge that I want to leave with you today. It's a memorial day. You'll see what I mean a little further in the text. Verse 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you." God is establishing here in this chapter what the Old Testament Jews call the Feast of the Passover. Verse 3 says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day. At the same month, of the same month, now don't notice this, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper post, doorpost of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs, and with the puritans thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. Verse 11, and thus shall ye eat it, and your loins ye shall eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. What he's telling them, be ready to move. This is when they're going to leave Egypt. Now notice the next phrase. Everything that verse 1 through 11 have dealt with, here's what it's called. It is the Lord, say with me out loud, Passover. I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, say it with me out loud, good and loud, the next statement, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse 14, and this day shall be unto you, say the rest of that next phrase with me, unto you what? For a memorial. It's called, as I'm saying in this thought this afternoon, it's a memorial day. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. The nation of Israel was commanded from this chapter onward to annually observe this night, this memorial night, when the death angel came through Egypt, killing the firstborn in every house except those houses that had blood on the sides of the doorpost and above the doorpost. Wherever the blood of the lamb was applied, the death angel passed through and did not judge that house. What I want to do for just a few moments this afternoon, I want to show you as a church family the connection between the Old Testament Passover and the New Testament Lord's Supper. Let's pray. Brother Byron, lift your voice and ask the Lord to help us, and we'll jump into the thought very quickly. Yeah. You may be seated. Look, if you will, real quick at Luke chapter 22. Flip there, if you will. I want you to see the connection. Of course, Exodus 12 is the historical event as well as the institution of the Passover as an annual feast day for the nation of Israel. But notice the connection, Luke 22, if you will, look at verse number 1. The very first verse, Luke 22, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh," say it with me out loud, "which is called the" what?
"Passover."
Look down at verse number 7. We're still in chapter 22. "Then came the day of unleavened bread," talk to me now, "when the" what? "Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go prepare for us the" what? "Passover, that we may eat." Look down at verse 15. "And he said unto them, with desire." I want to zero in on that word desire for just a second. If you write in your Bible, you might want to write this in the margin there. That word desire means with fervency. So what Jesus is telling the disciples, if I can put it in a little bit of an illustration, he is saying, boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, am I excited to observe the Passover with you today. Now, the reason we know is because he's going to change everything. He's going to explain to them that I am the fulfillment of the Passover, that you will never again observe the Passover, not as a New Testament church. You will now start observing the Lord's Supper because I am that Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. I am come. No longer do you have to come annually to the temple on the Day of Atonement and offer a lamb as a sacrifice. I once for all am becoming your sacrifice. I am your Passover. He said, with fervency or desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Verse 16, "For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." Verse 19, "And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." It's a memorial. That's that word remembrance. Verse 20, "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Take your Bible now and go with me to 1 Corinthians 5. Here's where we'll tie it all together. 1 Corinthians 5, if you will, look at verse number 7. 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 7. I know it's on the screen, but if you can, I'd love you to see it right there in your own Bible. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. This opening phrase I want to deal with in just a moment. But it says, "Purge out therefore the old" what? "Leaven." Leaven is a sign of corruption in the Bible. It's a picture of sin. "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. As ye have ye are unleavened," read with me the remainder of verse 7. Would you together read with me together? "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Let me try to briefly show you the parallel between the Passover and the Lord's Supper. Now, the connection between the two is so sacred and so important. If you understand the significance of the Passover, it brings into full view our great heritage when we partake of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper was instituted at the Passover feast. Now, there's a traditional question that would be asked each year in a Jewish family at the beginning of the Passover meal. The Passover meal is called a Seder. So at the Passover Seder, The traditional question would be asked. This was something that every Jewish family did. The youngest child would ask the question, Why is this night so different from any other night? This question would be asked in every Jewish family when they were getting ready to eat the Passover Seder or Passover meal. The response to that question, what makes this night different than any other night, would be given by the father in the Jewish family. And he would explain the great story of Exodus 12, how that night when the death angel came through Egypt, every house that had the blood of a lamb on the side post and above the doorpost, that death angel would not stop and take the oldest child and the oldest animal from that family, but the death angel would pass over. God was showing Israel that if the blood is applied to you, you will be spared. And thus we have that great verse in the book of Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We know in the book of Acts, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Thank God today for the blood of Jesus Christ. Brother Ken, of course, was obeying the Holy Spirit, and I loved what he did this morning. But the song that was in the order of service, had Brother Ken not used the choir song twice, that song was, "What Can Wash Away My Sin?" Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How many of y'all tonight or this afternoon are glad for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, when the Passover question was asked, why is this night different than any other? And the father of the Jewish family would tell the story of the Passover. What a parallel that is to us in the New Testament church. The Lord's Supper is such an awesome time to be a witness to your children. My challenge always is, do not let children that are too young to understand salvation take the Lord's Supper. Not to be mean to them, not to, be in any way, shape, or form unkind to them. But the Lord's Supper is very sacred, and they need to understand that to partake of the Lord's Supper, you need to be saved. And what a great, I can't count. I mean, literally, it's probably 8-10 kids that I know in my previous ministry of 33 years, they got saved because of this point in the service. When mom and dad explained, man, we sure want to let you take the Lord's Supper, sweetheart, but you got to be saved first. And when the child heard that, like, wait a minute, what's the deal? And we heard the wonderful news for Brother Brian and Miss Brianna with their precious little girl last night because of Bible school. Three nights of hearing the gospel and three nights of from Brother Eric and Brother Brian and myself, each given a different angle on the gospel. Her little heart and mind was like, I got questions. I remember Brother Byron, when our daughter Ashley was, when she got saved, a lot of kids her age were getting saved. And, you know, she's always been a person that wants to please other people. And as she was beginning to show an interest in salvation, we weren't quite sure she was ready because we thought maybe she was just doing it because of other friends. And for probably a good 6 weeks, we were having this back and forth. And we wanted her to get saved more than anybody did, but we wanted to make sure that she was really being dealt with by the Holy Spirit. And I'll never forget the Sunday, Brother Byron, when during the invitation, she ran right past me and at the end of the service and ran to Brother Bud MacArthur, our song leader in our church. And she said to Brother Bud, she said, "Brother Bud, I want to get saved, but my mom and dad won't let me." Amen. And when she said that, we figured she's ready. The Holy Ghost, she wasn't worried about nobody else anymore. She had to get this thing settled. And much like in the Passover feast, mom and dad, it's a great time to explain to your children the gospel. Now, all this took place, the Passover feast, so the Jews would never forget the incredible price that was required to pay for their redemption. And the reason we now, for 2,000 years as a New Testament church, have had the Passover Lord's Supper celebration, whether we do it weekly, whether we do it quarterly, whether we do it monthly, whatever custom each church has, just like the Passover was to remind the Old Testament Jewish nation never to forget the great work of redemption God did at the Passover, we need to always be reminded of the great work of Calvary, when our sin was paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is, in our text this afternoon, our Passover lamb. Let me quickly deal with two things. Number one, let me talk for a minute about this thing called the Seder, the Passover feast. When the hour had come, the Passover meal would be prepared. And in our text this day, it says that Jesus greatly desired with fervency to eat this Passover meal with his disciples. With intense pleasure and the immense passion, he wanted to tell his friends what it was all about. This really was the revelation to the disciples that he was more than a rabbi. He was more than a teacher. He was, in fact, the Lamb of God. He was, in fact, the Messiah. The interesting thing we saw a minute ago in our text, the first thing they were to do, the bread in the Lord's Supper, is supposed to be unleavened bread. And of course, that's not a law that we have to obey today, that it be unleavened bread. But the bread in the Passover was unleavened. Unleavened, of course, is a type or a picture of corruption, a type or picture of sin. And the idea of it being unleavened is Jesus was letting his disciples know that man's problem is not a belief problem. Belief is the remedy for man's problem. Man's problem is sin. What separates man from God is sin. And that leaven is showing you and I that everything about the Passover, everything about the Lord's Supper is that sin's getting paid for. That shed blood is for the sin. Customary after in the Passover feast, that leaven being in the bread, or unleavened bread, is the idea that all sin's got to be moved out of the way. Every single one of us, our problem is a sin problem. Aren't you glad that God is so merciful and gracious that the remedy to that, he made simple belief in Jesus Christ? But we have some friends that have that mixed up. They think man's problem is unbelief. Belief may be the remedy to man's problem, but unbelief is not man's problem. Sin is man's problem. Sin is what has separated you and I from our God. And everything about the Passover, everything about our Savior's redemption is to take care of our sin problem. This Passover Siddur, this Passover feast, had to have unleavened bread. And I'm excited tonight. It blesses my heart so deeply to know our Savior couldn't wait to have this Passover feast. Because he was going to unveil, he was going to reveal that he now was our Passover lamb. Another feature of this Siddur, this Passover meal, was that there were candles lit. That candle lighting is a picture of both the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures. We need to have our sin dealt with. And the basis of all that is the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in our lives. This book, Psalms 119, says it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Well, that brings us to the last part that I want to focus on. And that's what we see as the Passover cups. The Passover Siddur or meal, I could go deeper, but for time I'm going to rush past that. But let me talk in conclusion about the Passover cups. There were actually four cups that are part of a traditional Jewish Passover table. Four cups, each representing a key part of the Passover, and thus for you and I as New Testament believers today, the Lord's Supper. You say, what are these four cups, preacher? Let me give you all four of them real quick, and we'll jump into the Lord's Supper this afternoon. First is the cup of sanctification. That's what that first cup represents. Now hear this. This cup represents holiness and the cleansing that we all need to be able to receive from the Lord. Listen, to be sanctified by God means we are cleansed. It means we are forgiven. It means we are made holy. Sanctification allows us to enjoy God's provision in God's presence. You know why a lot of people don't enjoy their Christian life? Because they're not letting the Lord sanctify them. The holier I live, the happier I'll be. You can't separate holiness from happiness. When you try to find happiness outside of holiness, it'll lead you down a road that you'll never, ever get to your destination. So the first cup was the cup of sanctification. We need to be clean. Secondly, the second cup was the cup of plagues. Let me explain this for a minute. The cup reminds us of the deliverance from the plagues of Egypt that preceded the Passover night. All of those plagues, God used those plagues to deliver the Jewish people from the Egyptians. They were in bondage. The pathway of the plagues, those plagues, as difficult as they were, each one was a step closer and closer to their deliverance, teaching you and I, and this is so important, church, that often our path to deliverance, Brother Byron, involves difficulty, darkness, even death. Every one of us know in this room this afternoon that every dark, difficult thing God has used in your life, if you let it, it brought you closer to the Lord. It dealt with all of us, those times of vulnerability in our life is when we get things fixed, we get things right, we quit straddling the fence, we cross over. When we finally say, Lord, I'm done running from God, that's the cup of the plagues. Then there's the cup of redemption. This third cup is the cup that Jesus was probably holding in Luke 22. What a somber remembrance. Jesus says, first he gives the bread and then he says this cup. Can you imagine being in that room and understanding the depth of significance when the Savior, the Redeemer, the Messiah said this cup is a New Testament in my blood. Rather than Jesus, listen, you really can't celebrate the Christian life until you spend some time looking at that cup. The reason we shout, the reason we let out a glory and a hallelujah isn't because we're charismatic. It's because we spent some time looking at that cup. Like Brother Ken said this morning, when you think about how unholy we are and how holy he is, you just get a case of the can't help it's amen. You got to thinking, why would something so holy, so pure, so righteous care about something so dirty and so filthy and so sinful and so selfish and so small? And yet Jesus looked past it all and said, I still want to redeem that one right there. That's a cup of redemption. But then the last cup, and I love this one, Brother Ken. The fourth and final cup in the Passover is the cup of praise. Now this is, I don't have time, I really wish I had time to develop this, but I'll just give you a quick snapshot. This cup, actually, Jesus did not partake of at the Passover feast. I said, why not, preacher? Because this cup is yet to come. This is the cup he will be holding, glory to God, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is an amazing thing, Brother Tim, in a Jewish wedding. The last step before the bride and groom are united in a holy matrimony, he offers her a cup. And he's telling her, I want you, and by you receiving this cup, you are accepting me. One of these days, you and I who are redeemed are going to be participants in the marriage supper of the Lamb. We will be the bride of Christ. Can you imagine folks as homely as us being a bride one day? Amen. And as we're standing there, Jesus Christ will don the diadem. The Redeemer of all the ages, the glorious Messiah of mankind will stand out and he will offer you a cup. I believe this, Brother Todd. We often think of the drama of those kinds of events as a bystander, but I believe it will literally be like it's just you and him. And Brother Jeff, at the marriage supper, he's going to come to you and he's going to hand you this cup and say, will you be mine? Glory to God. I want to say, yes, sir, I've been wanting to be yours ever since I got saved. And now to know that it's finally real, it's not a figment any longer. It's not a type anymore. It's not a picture anymore. It's reality when we receive the cup of praise from our Redeemer. My, oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. They say in a Jewish wedding, the reception of that cup seals the marriage. Listen to John 15:11. These things Jesus said have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Can I tell you this morning, this afternoon, as you think about the day you will receive that cup, buddy, we are going to get a bucket load of glory put inside of us. And since that day is coming, let's just enjoy the journey till we get there.